Testament reading for this afternoon is much shorter than the New Testament, so that helps for attention. That said, let's make sure to give God's Word our full attention, even if it's shorter, that we may benefit thereby. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings in brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." Well, that thus ends the reading of God's holy word. In the very last verses of the last chapter, we're informed that the altar of burnt offering that had originally accompanied the tabernacle was not in Jerusalem, but had been at Gibeon, several miles northwest of Jerusalem. Today, we think of that as being really close. You drive 30 miles or more, some of you, just to get here this morning, because we have paved roads and automobiles. However, in the ancient world, that was very different. In verse 1, David declares that now Jehovah had sanctified and established this altar upon which he had shown his acceptance in the prior chapter of the sacrifice and stayed the slain of his angel from continuing any longer upon the people. David also says that this spot upon what was once the threshing floor of Ornan was, quote, "the house of the Lord God." David perceived, whether by extraordinary influence in his spirit or understanding God's purpose from what he had instructed David previously and observing God's hand in what preceded, or from assistance of the prophet Gad or others, or the special means of direction at that time, the Urim and Thummim, that God would make that place a holy place of choosing to himself. And we noted this in the previous chapter, in the part of what may have made up the reason to pay for the land, as opposed to just having to use it and move on. David, in verse 2, appears to waste no time. He commanded, it says, to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. Understand by strangers as can be gathered from parallel passages, all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, whom the children of Israel were not able utterly to destroy when making their conquest into the land of Canaan. Strangers in all the land of Israel that were bondservants, hirelings, servants, these were the ones that were brought. Among these he takes masons, those who could cut or carve stones to build a house for God, out of which we may observe a type of the coming day where Gentiles will come in to build the house of the Lord. Well, David prepares in verse 3, iron in abundance, it says, for the nails, and brass in abundance, so much as to not be weighed, in addition to abundance of cedar trees. Verse 5, we hear the revealing of David's thought process behind his preparation. David sought to prepare the gathering of all related materials so that once his son Solomon, through Bathsheba, should come of proper age, he should take up the kingship and have all that is needed to build the house of God, which was to be, he says, exceeding magnifical, of fame and glory throughout all countries, he says, and that prepared by his father. Here we observe how superiors ought to look to those their inferiors, as a David to a Solomon, beholding them to be yet young and tender, as he says, not quite what they need to be in maturity, yet making the necessary preparations and provisions of helps to them to be successful in the work and service and kingdom of God as they come of age. Likewise, ought those who are inferiors be ready to take up, receive, and utilize those helps as provided by their superiors, putting off the pride of a hyper-individualism or a hyper-purity which cannot build upon the good which David did prepare for him, because after all, David did some bad things. Rather, what do we see from Solomon? We see the commendability that he takes up that good which his father brought and prepared by direction of God, and orients himself to take up that work which his father had put forward to the glory of God for the kingdom of Jehovah, that by this temple, Psalm 68:29 says, shall kings bring presents unto thee. Well, from verse 6 to 16, David charges his son with instructions in building the house for Jehovah, from which we may observe, number one, how David recounts why he could not himself build the house. The Lord came to me saying, verse 8, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great whores. Thou shalt not build a house in my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. It is easy, perhaps, to read that in a negative light. To make him perhaps like a warmonger of sorts, a violent man. We don't want someone, a violent man, who builds a temple for us. But remember that David, by and by and large, has been fighting the wars of the Lord. The Lord is not bringing him on charges of having done the very thing he commanded him to do. We hear when David first confronts Abigail, or she confronts him in 1 Samuel 25. She says, David, that Jehovah will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of Jehovah. 2 Samuel 7:9, the Lord says to David in response to him, desiring to build God a house, saying, I was with thee whithersoever thou went, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, which, by the way, included violence. Understand then that the Lord is not necessarily reproving David for doing such things, but he is nevertheless putting a limit upon David's vocation, putting a limit and boundaries upon his calling in this life. David desired to do the work, but God would have it otherwise, whereby we may take occasion to be reminded of the need to content ourselves. Content ourselves in the ordinary callings and vocations which the Lord in his providence has brought to us. Can we aspire to something better? Yes. You can aspire to some greater work or lay up an advancement for that opportunity to arise. However, the general rule still remains what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:24, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Can you abide with God where the Lord has put you and called you at this time? The other thing to observe in addition to this, God's limiting of David's vocation and calling to a given work, keeping him from building a temple, was the contrasting rationale as to why not David, but yes to Solomon. Verse 9, Solomon shall build it because he shall be a man of rest. Rest from all his enemies round about. His name shall be Solomon, which, by the way, is derived from the Hebrew word shalom, peace. And I will give peace and quietness into Israel in his days. God would have it that that he who builds the temple should draw the interest, the attention of the nations with peace and not violence, not turbulence and war, showing the type into which the Lord would, how he would call the Gentiles, by a message of and preaching of peace, and that from a prince of peace, bringing reconciliation through the whole world. So we see that type. Well, in this section, we also observe the kind of moral help, David says, Solomon will need to accomplish the building of the temple. Verse 12 and 13, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. And he says, be strong and good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. David points out those particular virtues in which Solomon, his son, would need special care, that he not give way to the vices implied in these. Wisdom, discretion over blockishness, foolery or being giddy was to be put aside, understanding and discernment over ignorance and misunderstanding, strength and courage against cowardice and dismay. Verse 13, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments. The law and word of God were to be his continual and regular special companions, counselors, instructors to keep him in the way of prosperity to the Lord. Success was in the way and after the manner that the Lord had laid out in his word. The supply of the building and materials we read and heard, and the workers are ready, but Solomon must himself step up to the calling of the Lord has put before him to see that work executed. It's not going to do itself. And to this end, when he closes verse 16, arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. As one esteemed minister has said, though the Lord be with us, we must rise and be doing. And if we do this, we have reason to believe he is and will be with us. In addition to giving charge to his son Solomon, David commands in verse 17 the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, from which we will note two things and be done. The way in which victory, tranquility, and peace is appealed to by David as an occasion, those things are occasions to stir up these princes into action. Verse 18, hath he not given you rest on every side? Verse 19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Peace and tranquility is kindness and mercy objectively from God, but that we would use it to set ourselves more devotedly in the way of his service, rather than what often is the case. It becomes an opportunity for luxury, for pampering, for abundance of idleness. Well, David directs them, however, that after his death, they would aid his son to build the sanctuary, to bring the Ark of the Covenant and the holy vessels of God into the house once complete. Verse 18, is not the Lord your God with you? What shall we say then to these things, as Paul says? If God be for us, who can be against us? Therefore, verse 19, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye together, concurrently, working in unity, not falling out with each other, not bringing forward your partisanships and your nitpickiness with each other, but build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. Well, that ends our time together in 1 Chronicles chapter 22.